Hey everyone, before we get started with our podcast, we'd like to thank our friends over at A Legacy of Legends, a Dynasty podcast. BJ and Marcus do a good job of describing fantasy football in a Dynasty perspective. So what are you doing? If you're not over there listening to their podcast, what are you doing? I mean, if you want to hear horrible Alabama football takes by BJ and horrible Ole Miss football takes by Marcus, well, just head on over there because they're going to have plenty of that. And if they want to talk about how superior my team is, even though they're cheating, go over there and listen as well. The Doomsday Device, they're here to stay. So, anyway, we just want to thank you all for listening, and I hope you go over and check out our friends on their podcast. Give them a like and follow them, and just give them an honest 5-star review. Anyway, thanks for listening, and hope you enjoy the episode. Hello, we are back. Derek, how are you?
I'm good, man.
You're just doing good? Not well?
Well, it should technically be well. I'm well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are you medium well? Well done?
No, really well.
Really well. Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad to welcome back the person we miss so much. Bradley Starlin, he is back.
What's up?
I don't know if your mic's on.
Ah, crap.
That's a good way to start it.
It's on.
Oh, it is? What is it? Oh, you're not turned up. Okay, Bradley, welcome back.
Well, that wasn't my fault.
I don't know who turned that down. It's a good way to start it off. Derek, are you glad he's back?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you glad to see the mustache?
Two-legged chair, don't stand. How does it go?
I don't know, but I'm liking where this is going. Two-legged chair?
Yeah.
All right, but we're not a chair. A chair don't have three legs.
Or a table. A chair. Well, it's a table. A two-legged table won't stand. It's got to have at least three.
I like it. Yeah. All right. We've got a big episode today. We've got a special draft. And then we have a topic that we think is interesting.
It seems like a disproportionate part of your life is drafting things.
I love it. You don't like drafting things?
It's okay, but I think about other stuff as well.
Yeah.
Come through on the mic, sorry.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I like to draft things. I mean, who doesn't like to draft things?
Have you ever did a draft with your wife? Outside of fantasy football. Like,
yeah.
Just drafted something random.
Yeah, like me and her talk about stuff. I was like, all right, I draft
this.
Let's
draft household chores.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've listened to a podcast about drafting household chores, and we're just like, was that your stomach?
It was.
This morning has been great so far, this recording. Anyway, let's go ahead and get into the draft, okay? Let's not waste any time, okay? Or we are going to draft the perfect breakfast meal.
How are you going to decide the order?
That's a good question. Let me look at that real quick.
You've not thought about this, have you?
No, I have not. It's been impromptu. All right, random.
We could go by age. We could go by weight.
All right, let's just go by age.
You
get the first
facial hair.
You get the first pick, man. And then me, and then Bradley, and then we'll just Bradley. You get
all those things I picked. I would get the first.
Sir. It's a serpentine draft. You get to pick twice, and then it'll come back to me and Derek.
What?
Yeah, we ain't doing a fixed order. Come on now. All right, so Derek, you see the outline. We are drafting the perfect breakfast meal. We're going to have an entree, two sides,
does and a breakfast beverage. Have an entree?
I mean, it's got the main course.
Really? It's yeah. All equal in my eyes.
Okay, so you considered, like, gravy the main course?
No, but gravy sits on top of things.
Well, I know that, but I mean, that's
like in this draft.
Hash browns. Do you consider hash browns the main course of a breakfast meal?
No, but it's equal to eggs.
That's my point. Okay. Exactly. That's my point.
But
just
to establish the rules here, gravy can go with something. So in this draft, you can pick biscuits and gravy. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's fine. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. Is that your first pick?
No.
Oh.
But I don't know what you mean by main entry.
Like waffles? Wouldn't you consider it a main entree?
Oh, okay.
He's saying your main source of sustenance.
Like to me, bacon to me is the main.
If you go to Cracker Barrel, you can get the waffle as, or the pancake. Pancake, they don't have waffles. You can get the pancake as the main thing, or it comes as a side on some of the big boy breakfasts.
Well, let's just draft three things in our breakfast meal, okay?
The big boy breakfast.
If you want to draft a bowl of cereal, if you want to draft a bowl of cereal with your first pick, go ahead.
If you draft a bowl of cereal for your first pick, you're losing.
Yeah, it's going to be hilarious, by the way.
So, we're doing one main entry, side one, side two. Beverage.
It's entree. Did I spell entry?
Entry. You spelled entry.
Oh, it's supposed to be entree.
But, you know, technically, kind of the same thing.
Yeah. All right. What are you going with? We got to do this quick.
I know.
We can't spend all day. Time's ticking.
Give me...
We can look at breakfast meals right now. Google.
Okay. This is my... I don't want to blow it, but I can't really lose, can I?
Oh, my goodness.
All right. I'm going to change my whole approach. My breakfast, if I could have it how I want it. I'm going scrambled eggs. Main entry.
The first pick was scrambled eggs. All right. Yeah. Well, I'm taking bacon.
You can have it.
Okay.
French toast.
Oh, my goodness. This is rolling fast. All right, you got another pick. French toast is good, though. I want to bring that up. That's an underrated breakfast meal or breakfast.
Sausage.
Oh, he's got the sausage.
Actually, my breakfast, I want sausage over bacon. Hot take.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Sausage is more diverse.
Now, I'm going to go outside the box with this. Breakfast burrito. Is that considered?
Okay.
I love a breakfast burrito.
So that means I get gravy and biscuit.
And you get another pick.
Oh. This really worked out to my advantage.
You got gravy and biscuit and eggs.
Eggs, gravy, biscuit.
Scrambled eggs, by the way.
Scrambled. Is it scrambled?
Scrambled eggs, gravy, biscuit.
Okay.
Hash browns.
Okay. So you get
I need something to drop.
All right. So right now, I've got bacon, and I've got the breakfast burrito. It's a tough one. I'm looking at all these beautiful pictures of breakfast items right now. Oh, goodness. I don't think mine's traditional if I go anything without maybe an English muffin. You know, like a good English muffin when you're breakfast? Like a good good carb source? You don't like English muffins?
I don't know what an English muffin is.
Well, Google English muffin.
It's a muffin that's English?
Yeah.
How does it differ from, like, the Martha White ones that you make at home? The wild berry ones?
English muffin. I'm going with English muffin, though.
I'm going to take oatmeal.
That's a good pick.
I like oatmeal.
All right, so what do you got right now? You've got
French toast, sausage, and oatmeal.
All right, what's your beverage now?
Coffee.
Dang it. I should have picked that first. That should have been the first pick now I think about that. Oh, Lord. I guess mine's going to be, right now I've got bacon, an English muffin, and a breakfast burrito. I think we're going to go orange juice then. You're going to have to go milk, Derek.
No.
What are you going to go with, water?
The milk is okay.
You going to go with sweet tea as your breakfast?
No. I will go with apple juice. I like apple juice.
Apple juice is a breakfast thing? Mm-hmm. Really? Okay. Yep.
I like it.
All right, so you ended up with eggs, scrambled eggs.
Scrambled eggs.
With gravy and biscuit.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of gravy? Just your normal?
White gravy.
White gravy. Okay.
Was it sawmill? What do they call that?
Yeah, I believe it's called sawmill gravy, ain't
mm-hmm.
it?
Straight from the sawmill.
So gravy and biscuit, eggs, hash browns, and then the apple juice.
Yep.
Is that your perfect breakfast? Probably not.
Well, I like it.
You're like, I like it a lot. So mine's going to be a breakfast burrito, bacon, Anna going with the English muffin, and then orange juice. And Bradley went with, you remember what yours were?
French toast, sausage, oatmeal, coffee.
Yours is probably the healthiest. Maybe not the sausage, though.
I mean, I eat sausage every day, so.
That coffee pick, that was the steal of the draft, man.
Yeah,
that was stupid by me. That was ignorant by me. I should have went.
Played to my advantage.
Yeah, you
Derek
really
said it was playing to his advantage, but
well, I forgot the fourth round when I said that.
Yeah, me too. I kind of just
I thought I was getting to start two rounds, but yeah.
Okay, so let us know which one had the best breakfast meal. That was kind of impromptu, just something a little different. And see, I told you it wouldn't take long. We wouldn't last an hour on it, Derek. By the way, how excited are you that the Braves won the World Series?
Very excited. Very excited.
Do you think they are going to be pretty decent next year?
Yeah.
Or is there going to be a lot of change?
They'll get Acuna back next year and things like that. So, man, they're going to be better next year. Should be.
So they're not going to do like the Red Sox and trade everybody right after they win a World Series?
No, they got to sign Freddie back. And
are they going to do that, though?
Yeah. You don't trade Freddie.
Why not?
I mean, you don't let him walk, I meant to say. He's the face of the franchise.
Pretty.
They'll pay him. Not only will they pay him, but him being the face of the franchise, he's gonna concede a little bit, too.
You think he'll take less money?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A little less. But they've been preparing for this because they signed Albies, who's one of the National League's best second basemen, and they signed Acuna, who could be the National League's best center fielder, to contracts that paid them far, far less than what they're worth.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so they got bargain deals is what you're saying.
Yeah, like so much so the league was very much aggravated. Like the players' union was aggravated at them two guys.
Hey, that's how you build teams right there, though. You got to get them on budgets.
I think they need to start doing that, though. Like the players' union needs to get a wake-up call because, I mean, there's these people that are not worth what they're going for that are going to the Padres and –
Yeah,
the Dodgers and
they think, well, this is we're in it for the players. But what happens is, this significantly shortens their careers, because when you get a guy that is when he gets 30, 34 years old, but yet he's used to playing for millions of dollars.
Yeah,
every team. I mean, nobody's gonna sign him.
Yeah,
every team's like, hey, we'll bring up this little dude from the farm system and pay him the league minimum.
See, that's
and we ain't got to pay you.
I've always been a Red Sox fan, and that's one thing that the Red Sox have always kind of done well is brought people up from the farm system. But they get them up, and they're good, and then they get traded to somebody for
get
more
them,
money.
Get them up to where they're worth something.
Yeah, and then they leave and stick us. So.
Well, I've heard a lot of good response from our last episode, by the way, Derek.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody seemed to enjoy your takes on the Bible and how to read it and what to look for when purchasing one, how to, you know, how the format and everything seems to help with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've heard a lot of people, you know, saying that was one of our better episodes. So good job.
Has there been a little more traction on that one or no?
Yeah, we had a lot of listeners.
Mm-hmm. Good.
More than like the past few. Mm-hmm. So I know we posted some groups. I posted in Reddit. There was one guy that reached out. So shout out to you, whoever you are. I think I gave him the RSS feed for him to add it to his podcast player. So, but yeah. Is there anything else that we want to go through real quick or y'all just want to get right into it? I know today is Veterans Day.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I'm off work. Are you? You know, Derek's never off work. He's always working, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And Bradley's working. That mustache is on 24/7.
That's right.
You're like, you darn right it is.
That's right.
Anything else you want to say, Bradley? Are you okay now? I mean, you had a little bit of the stomach bug, didn't you?
I don't know what's going on, man, to be honest with you.
You still having problems?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, my stomach. I always have problems with my
stomach.
Yeah,
I know what you mean. Me too.
But, last Thursday, I felt like I was going to throw up when I woke up. So,
yeah.
Just not a good morning to talk on a microphone when you feel like you're going
to
throw up.
Well, here's – I don't want to have to call you out, Bradley, but I kind of feel like you might have stepped on a George Foreman grill that morning and didn't want to come in.
Might have.
Don't you like the smell of good bacon?
I do. Always wake up, put on some bacon, and go back to sleep.
I don't have a butler, so I have to get up and do it myself. We've been watching through some of the Peacock versions, like the Superfan episodes.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. There's some gold in some of those.
Yeah. They missed
some good opportunities.
Some good opportunities.
Yeah.
But I think some of those wouldn't have done as well.
Not today, it wouldn't have.
The whole show wouldn't work today.
Nothing, hardly anything from back then would work today.
No. You seem a little upset about that.
No, it's just...
I would like to add something from last week.
Yeah, go ahead.
Y'all talked about the Reformation Heritage Study Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I have one, and I really like the notes a lot. But it's a lot more Presbyterian than you're going to get out of... like the Reformation Study Bible. It's noticeably.
That was my coffee I was drinking. I was drinking out of this cheap cup that made a.
It's noticeably Presbyterian. But
just as noticeable as that coffee. See it right there?
Yeah. But it is a good study Bible. And it is only in KJV.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually got mine. Derek has it right now, but. I got mine for like $20 because they messed. It was like a throwback, like or a throwaway. So they tried to print somebody's name on it, and the thing messed up.
Mm-hmm.
So it had like a little thing on the bottom of it that was smooth, and I got it for like $20. So I got a really good deal on it.
That sounds like a pretty good deal.
I can't remember who is it. Joel Beakey that did that bottle.
Yeah, but I think so. Yeah.
Is he a Presbyterian though? Yeah, I guess he is, ain't he? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Speaking of which, I just ordered his volume 3 of his...
They can't hear you. You're not knowing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Like, yeah.
Speaking of Beakey, I just pre-ordered his volume 3 of his Reformed Systematic Theology. Mm-hmm. I've not read the other two yet, but...
And I will say something. If you're looking to spend the money on a Bible and you want to go scholar, wait until they run the Credo. That's what I've got, mm-hmm. and then I've got a small one that is calf skin.
Yeah, a personal size quintal.
Mm-hmm. Mine's
that's what
NASB. My mm-hmm. personal size is.
The Credos are fantastic. I've got a big green one, nice goat skin. But did we talk about that last week? The Credo has
you brought up the Credo.
Yeah, it's got like the confessions in it, the creeds and confessions in the back, which 1689's there. So, it's pretty cool.
Well, if you don't have anything else to discuss, we're going to take a short break. And we'll just come back in with the main topic. This could be a short, concise episode then.
I doubt it.
Why, are you going to get long-winded? You're like very well.
It's a good subject today.
It is. So, we will be right back here shortly. All right. Thank you. Okay, we are back. We've got coffee. Derek has got his mind right. He's in the zone over here. And my computer continues to make stuff. Anyway, our main topic today is going to be mental health and total depravity. So if you're not really in the loop, let's just get you in the loop. Okay, mental health seems to be a very big thing in our society today. And if you've listened to us for a while, you know total depravity is something we talk about regularly. We think it's very, very important, especially, I mean, obviously if you're, you know, professing Christian, it is very vital. But, yeah, there's been a lot of, I guess, news, how the two actually kind of relate. So, Bradley, do you want to provide some context to this discussion?
Okay. I heard this on another podcast. They were talking about it, and that's kind of what piqued my interest in it. But basically what we're going to be talking about today is there's people out there who say that total depravity is detrimental to your mental health and should be avoided at all costs.
The doctrine of it.
The doctrine of total depravity. And I find it interesting because an interesting topic, at least, because I struggle with my sin bothering me, you know, which I think any Christian who's seeking to live a life that glorifies God is going to do. When I sin, it legitimately bothers me. You know, there have been times where I would say that I was depressed over a sin that's been in my life and things like that. So that's kind of why this piqued my interest so much. But Derek and I were talking about it last night, and, you know, there's another side to this, but we won't get to that yet. We'll talk about it later. But, you know, so there's a few tweets that I found, and this morning when I Googled, when I looked at Twitter.
On the tweet machine?
Yeah, there were more, but they have disappeared. I don't know what happened to them.
The Twitter. Are you on Twitter, Derek?
Mm-mm. I don't think. I don't know.
I'm not either. This is a Plowboy Radio's Twitter.
Okay. I'm on Twitter. It's all right. You can kind of follow what you want to listen to. Facebook, you kind of don't. You know, you're obligated to follow your friends on Facebook. On Twitter, you really don't have to do that. Is that bad?
I don't know.
I mean, anyway. So, did you find any of those tweets yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, this one person says...
What was that?
It was a stretch yawn.
I thought you were
explosion.
I thought you were about to Hulk out. I thought you were about to.
I did not mean to do that.
The distractions have went full circle this morning.
The production quality has just went like. First of all, let's start. We didn't have your mic on. I'm making weird noises over here. Derek's making weird noises over here.
Yeah,
hey, it is what it is.
Yeah. This is raw.
The mustache kid comes back and everything just goes to poop. Which just reminded me of my favorite Michael Scott quote. Just pooping. You know how I be.
Mine is.
I know you've seen the sign that you can buy that says that.
Yeah.
You want to know my favorite quote? I believe if I said it right there, you would have spit your coffee out. He says, if you're a racist, Abraham Lincoln's his whole tagging with the North. Those are the standards I live by. favorite Michael Scott quote. What's yours, Derek?
Well, I don't have a favorite because there's a lot of good ones. But the one that I've thought, like, has come into my mind on multiple occasions, not last week, but the, like, 2 weeks prior to that, all around Halloween, was, I'm not superstitious, I'm just a little stitious. Because I kept seeing, you know.
Honorable mentions is, how the turntables
have many fades away.
And then this one happened yesterday. Brianna, so in order for me to go to New Orleans, I have to go get tested, okay, in order to get into the basketball game because I'm not vaccinated. I have that test has to be within 72 hours, which is – I don't want to go into all that, but I'll go get a free test. But she's like, yeah, you know, she was kind of randomly trying to get all this situated in her head. She's like, we need to go get drop Brinkley off. We need to go get you to go take your test. Make sure you test positive for it. I'm like, whoa, Michael Scott. You remember when
Kevin.
Kevin's like,
It's negative.
He's like, oh my gosh. Kevin, I'm so sorry.
We can fight this.
And I thought that, and she's like, I'm such an idiot. Like, I can't believe I said that. You know, because the first time she watched it, she's like, what an idiot. You know, when Michael Scott was going into the, we can fight this. And he's like, apparently, sometimes negative can mean good things.
in the medical community.
Right. Anyway, sorry for that sidetrack.
Rein us back in here.
Yeah, go ahead, Bradley.
So this first tweet says, "I'm so done with the theological belief of total depravity. Like, I've been done. But it's inexcusable. It is the core of mental health abuse in the church to be taught to totally not trust yourself and have an unsafe attachment to yourself. There's no good news in that."
What?
Do we want to talk about that one first? Or do we want to see what her next tweet says, too? Same person.
I mean, that's enough for me.
Let's do the next.
Come on,
This is an older tweet. So that was January 4th, which this is evidently an old subject for
really?
This person.
Really? So this is something that's been going on for a while?
The next tweet says, the theology of total depravity makes it so much worse for the narcissist and those who become victims of their abuse. Nuances of mental health are very deep. Let's see. Taking responsibility for your actions and also recognizing that it doesn't mean you're a failure or terrible person is a skill taught through safe attachment, because narcissistic traits are developed through unsafe attachment. They cannot and will not take responsibility. Okay, I'm done. Had to get that out. Grammatical errors and all. Whatever.
Why not just fix it?
There are a lot of tweets on that. I just miss them.
That's lazy, ain't it?
But, oh, boy.
Okay, let's... the next one. "I don't believe in total depravity for various reasons, one of them which is my mental health." And it talks. She lays out this sibling and sibling conversation about your worth being found. "Believing that total depravity almost killed me, so I had to set it aside."
It will kill you. it will kill you dead.
And then this person admits, "I don't have biblical training, and that's shaking me up when it comes to talking to sibling 24, which is what she's her conversation with the sibling. But I think there's plenty there to talk about, so I don't think we need to try to dig into any more tweets.
So
let's discuss what the doctrine of total depravity is first.
It's a lady.
So yeah, both are females. I mean,
so what they're saying is they have to reject the doctrine of total depravity because it has an adverse effect on their mental health.
And evidently,
just to sum it up,
and evidently in their mind, abusers use the doctrine of mental health or total depravity. But when all the whatever I searched first this morning pulled up, there was a lot of stuff about abuse in there. Like I said, I don't know where it all went, but there were several tweets that hinted toward abuse from the doctrine of total depravity, which I don't know where they're getting that. But
I've got the confession.
So if she rejects total depravity, what does she attribute the abuse to? Does not the abuse itself manifest the doctrine?
Yeah, it's like that tweet that I read earlier. It was from a different feed.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, man, it's like when I found this interesting. Bradley, you mentioned it to me last night at church. And it's something I had never thought about because, you know, we don't think like that. But that somebody would actually say this total depravity, which we're going to define. You know, we're not just going to assume everybody knows what we're talking about. But to say, we have to reject this because it's bad for our mental health and our self-esteem or whatever. You said mental health last night, but like my ears heard self-esteem. And I told you, I was like, yeah,
well,
that's exactly right.
In this sense, it is self-esteem. Like, I believe that people have mental issues. People have chemical imbalances in the brain. And we're not trying to say that mental problems are not real.
Yeah, we're not making light of that at all.
Because that's a problem in our society for sure. It's actually been a problem in every society. I mean, in some way, form, or fashion. Right. So we're not knocking mental health. What we're saying is that the doctrine of total depravity is not a mental health issue. It's a self-esteem issue. And I get what you're saying. Like, go ahead and define it, Ben. That way we can get further into this idea that we're talking about here.
Okay. This is from the London Baptist Confession, the 1689, which Bradley has tramp stamped on his back. I'm not going to go through paragraph 1 of chapter 6, but I'm just going to start from paragraph 2. It states, our first parents by this sin fell from their original righteousness and communion with God, and we in them whereby death came upon all becoming dead in sin and wholly defiled in all faculties and parts of soul and body. Paragraph 3, they being the root, by God's appointment, standing in the room instead of all mankind, the guilt of the sin was imputed and corrupted nature conveyed to all their posterity, descending from them by the ordinary generation, being now conceived in sin, and by nature children of wrath, the servants of sin, the subjects of death, and all other miseries, spiritual, temporal, and eternal, unless the Lord Jesus set them free. There is also more. Paragraph 4, from this original corruption, whereby we are utterly indisposed, disabled, and made opposite to all good, and wholly inclined to all evil, do proceed all actual transgressions. Paragraph 5, the corruption of nature during this life does remain in those that are regenerated, and although it be through Christ pardoned and mortified, yet both itself and the first motions thereof are truly and properly sin. And that's pretty much the end.
Right.
Yeah, Bradley, you got something from the scripture?
We can look at several things.
Yeah.
I'm going to save Romans 3 for later, but just to prove that this is a scriptural doctrine, not something that's just written down.
Yep.
Romans 5, verse 12, therefore just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and death spread to all men because all have sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come.
I've got some too, Bradley.
Go ahead, Ben.
Romans 3:23.
Don't read that one.
Okay. You already read Romans 5. Let's go to Titus 1:15. To the pure, all things are pure, but the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their minds and their consciences are defiled. Genesis 6:5, the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
Go back.
You mean go back to Genesis 6:5 again?
Yeah, okay. Read that one again.
All right, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Romans 3, Bradley. You ready?
Let's go to Ephesians 2. Yeah, I want to save Romans 3 for just a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
Ephesians 2, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived, in the passions of the flesh, following, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Let's read Romans 3, 10 and on.
I'd start with verse 9.
Or 9, okay. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. Mm. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands God, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive, the venom of asps under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood in the path of and are ruined. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes.
I got some more too.
And that's what he says there at the beginning. Yeah. The Jews and the Gentiles. It's everyone.
So what we're saying is, I think we can stop there unless. Do you have one that you really want to read?
Well, we could talk all day.
Yeah. I was going to bring up what we read yesterday in our Bible group, 1 Corinthians 15. Here's 21 through 22. For as by a man came death, by a man, has also come the resurrection of the dead, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Mm-hmm. Some of the other stuff that that just came to my mind. But yeah, I've got, like, so, you said, there's absolutely a plethora. You like that? I like that word. Yeah, there's.
So no doubt this doctrine is harmful to your self-esteem.
Yeah. and that's necessary for us.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's what ticks me off so bad when people say things like that. Well, before we get to that, you know, just to rein all these things in on the biblical doctrine of what we're talking about, total depravity, what we're saying and what we confess is in agreement with Scripture, is derived from Scripture,
right,
that human beings have a sin nature that we're captive to. Nature, within all of us, is bound by sin, so that we're slaves to sin. And our own wills is bound to that, so that the realm of our will is contained within our nature of sin. So it's as Paul says in Romans, that you know, we cannot do any spiritual good. Cannot. We're not even able to do so, Paul says in Romans 8. And so the testimony of Scripture is very clear. As you guys have read all those verses, you could read more. And I think the listeners see that, you know, according to Scripture, our hearts are bent towards, you know, wickedness.
Right.
And that's what I mean by depraved, is that they're ruined. Now, none of us are, because of God's restraining grace, no one is as depraved as what we could be. And yet, we are totally ruined. We're totally, you know, unable. There's you know, the lady talked about, you know, I don't know if she say self-esteem or not, but when you talk about that, you know, you're talking about good. And Paul says there's no one that's good, not even, not even one. And
yeah, so, before you expound on that anymore, I'm still, this is something I still struggle with, is what society's actual view of mental health is. Sometimes I can't understand, like, I do understand the premises of it, like you explained very well in the beginning, about mental health is something that it is very real in people. And I think we explained it well with depravity. That's the reason why, you know. But I don't really understand, like me and Derek were talking about sports and stuff, and how people are using that as a crutch in sports and stuff. It's just hard for me to understand where this woman is coming from, for instance. Like, how does actually society view mental health? You know, and that's where I struggle in this aspect. You know, because,
well, there's a lot more of a focus on mental health now than what they used to. You know, our parents grew up with, you know, cigarettes hanging out both sides of their mouth and stuff. Wait, like,
two,
that. You
both
know?
Sides, two
no,
cigarettes.
I'm just, that's just for an image. You
that's
know?
Awesome, though.
I think and it was stigmatized further back. Like, I mean,
and that's something I struggle with, because me and my wife have argued about it. You know, we were talking about some of the sports players, and I'm like, I don't care. You go to work. You know that, but that's some of the attitude that people had back then. You don't worry about your feelings. You go up and do what you got to do. And then after saying that, you know, I looked at her and I'm like, that's probably not the healthiest way of going about everything. I've tried to tell her, you know, I understand what she's saying. However, there's some other aspects I don't understand, you know.
Well, this lady, I have a sneaky suspicion that what she's talking about is not necessarily mental health.
Right.
But it is her just protecting her fragile psyche. And that's not the same thing. Of course, we'll argue that a healthy doctrine of total depravity is the key to getting to a proper biblical mental health, which we'll discuss further, I'm sure. But that's not what she's protecting. That's not even what she's talking about to me. She's baiting and switching.
Well, I was about to say, I don't really understand what she's talking about. It's the reason why I'm struggling.
She's saying that this doctrine is,
I know she's trying to make it a cop out.
It degrades. She says it's degrading to people. One of the tweets I heard Bradley read either last night or this morning, people were saying that this kind of degrades people. But the reality is, it's telling the truth about people.
That's the thing, is most of these people don't from a biblical standpoint, don't understand anthropology. They don't understand
exactly
who man is. in relation to God. See, that's where our society fails, especially our society.
Every part of our society.
We have moved we have moved so far away from a biblical understanding and a biblical foundation through, however you want to say it, revivalism and the losing of the importance of exegetical preaching and hermeneutics, anything you want to say here, we can plug it in here because our society has allowed it to leave. We no longer have a strong stance on Scripture. And a matter of fact, those who do take a strong stance on Scripture are stigmatized as being too serious about it or too radical or whatever you want to say it. So,
you're mean. You're preaching totally prejudice.
Yeah, you're mean. And that's what I was about to say, like, you know, in our local church, for instance, culture, you know, you really can't preach the truth because you're scared of hurting people's feelings.
Right, and this is what we're doing today. This goes right back to the first episode. We're busting up the hardened ground of our current church culture.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And if you look at our society has moved into, we don't want to preach total depravity. We want, like Stephen, like y'all were talking about last week, Stephen Furtick, you're just being changed and you're just being...
you're the same person
you
were.
You're being moved on, progressed in who you already were. No. You're dead in your sin and your trespasses, and you have to be made alive in Christ. You're being transformed from a dead, rotting corpse on the bottom of the ocean to someone who is has life in their lungs, has breath in their lungs. So our culture has. I said all that to say this. Our culture has moved away from biblical teaching to this soft, for lack of a better term, pansy-like preaching.
Yeah.
That caters to people who want to have this
emotional
self-image that makes them feel good about who they are and what they've done in their life.
Lie to them.
Yeah, you have to lie to them.
Yeah.
Well, that's misogynistic. You know, you're trying to cater to their emotions and their feelings.
And that's what I'm hearing now. You know, as we think through this, we try our best to think through this. She's advocating, let's just lie to people.
Right.
Let's take people, like we're a doctor, and you've got a patient here who's terminal with cancer, and let's not tell them that. That's going to be detrimental to their mental health.
Well,
let's tell them. Let's tell them they're okay.
That's a good analogy. Right.
She said that it's not good news. Tell me what's good news about someone good being made a little better. How is that good news?
Stephen Furtick.
How is Stephen Furtick's gospel good news?
Yeah.
I don't understand. To me, the best news is that when I was 12 years old, I was dead in my sin, bound for hell, bound for eternal separation from God. And the Holy Spirit stepped in, changed me, opened my eyes. I repented of my sins and believed in Christ, and I was saved.
Mm.
That is the best news. You take someone who has lived their whole life in opposition to God, and they're saved. I mean, how is that not good news?
It just goes back to that same old ancient heresy that, you know, deep down there is good in us. And that's like Furtick said, you know, what did he say? Jesus don't change people, that he just shows you who you've been all along. That's bull. That is absolute bull. Somebody said this, and they said Jesus didn't come to make good men better. He came to make dead men alive.
Right.
And that's the good news. I mean, and you can't lie to people try to protect some fragile mental something when it's not true. And this is what I was going to say. This all shouts out to me a modern epidemic of it's not hermeneutics. That is how people approach the Bible. This lady that posts this stuff and all that would agree with her. Their main, this is how they think, it's all pragmatism. It's no, what does the Bible say? It's all, let's just be pragmatic, which means let's just do whatever works.
Yep.
I think this will work better. So she completely dismisses everything that you guys read out of Scripture when we started. That doesn't matter because, oh, well, that's damaging to our mental health.
Yeah.
It's just pragmatism, and pragmatism in the church is rampant. And it will kill it.
Yeah.
It will not. Well, you can't kill the church, but it will. Local churches, it will have a devastating effect because that's what people do. Let's just do what works, and let's not preach the truth.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, you look at it, and it's that same. I mean, I think we've said it 100 times, but it's these people were using Scripture and God as their medicine cabinet. Mm-hmm. Hey, I feel bad about myself. Let me feel a little bit better. You know, that's kind of where this is. And it, in my mind, them labeling this as mental health, as a mental health issue, degrades people who actually have mm-hmm. mental health issues.
And when you start, just picking up what you said, when you start where this woman starts, that, no, we do have this goodness in us, then therefore everything changes to validate that. You know, it, to be that balm that soothes us rather than confronts us with our own wickedness.
I want to go back to what you brought up when we first started this about, you know, your personal struggle with sin. Like the Scripture, I think, paints it pretty well with Paul. You know, he talked about, you know, the struggles he has. You remember, or he had, excuse me, about how he hates when he does, you know, evil. And that's, and what you said is the right way to look at your mental health with sin. I mean, it's, you're supposed to hate it, you know, like you said, like like it should hurt you. It should hurt your soul that you've done something to disappoint the Lord, you know, the God you serve.
Right.
And I think you laid it out right off the bat, the correct view of how your mental health applies to how we sin, you know, in our lives. And Paul, and that's the same thing Paul was illustrating in his in one of his gospels. I can't think of which one it was where he was struggling. You know, he was talking about he hates the sin that he does.
Oh, Romans 7.
Yeah, you know, pretty much, you know. But then he talks about how the grace of God is, you know, sufficient, and you know, and that's the understanding we have.
Well, Romans 6 and 7.
Yeah. So,
and if I can get, I mean, really transparent here for a minute, that there have been times where I've sinned, and to me, the key to a healthy, I guess we could say, mortification of sin is to, you know, once you've sinned, is to preach the gospel to yourself to remind you of the truths of God, and all these things. And I have went into, you know, I've been 3 or 4 days and been struggling over the sin that I've committed because I forget to preach the gospel to myself. And that's the beauty of this idea. And Derek and I were talking about last night is yeah, you go, I go a little while and I'm beat up. I'm feeling defeated and all these things, but I have a risen Savior who is mediating for me with the Father, who has lived a faithful life for me, and whose righteousness is imputed to me, his faithfulness is given to me, is accounted as my faithfulness. And we have to remember that. And that's why I wanted to wait before we read Romans 3. It says in verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as propitiation by his blood to receive by faith. That was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus."
And
I had 1 Corinthians chapter 6 marked as well. We start right here in verse 9. "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters, nor the adulterers, nor the men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God." And that's where we have to get to in this whole discussion about mental health mm-hmm. and total depravity, is that, yeah, if you stopped at total depravity, you have pretty good reason to be depressed.
Yeah, for real.
But that's not where...
It's only a part of the story, right?
That's not where the story ends. Yeah. And that's the importance that we want to get across this morning. Or that was my whole idea in discussing this topic.
Yeah, and I agree. So what you're saying is that apart from the doctrine of total depravity, and we can't really have a healthy mental
state.
You know, you can't, because even for us as Christians, you know, what is happening to us now? You know, the Lord is sanctifying us. The Holy Spirit's in us, sanctifying us. But you can only understand that over and against our depraved state that we were in. You know, that's the battle we fight. I don't know if you've meant to quote John Owen, but you've done it twice. You did it when you said mortification of sin.
Yeah.
But you also did it when you talked about the medicine cabinet. Did you know that?
Yeah, okay. The remedy. Yeah.
John Owen said, it's in the death of death. He's like, you know, people think that like there's the bomb in the medicine cabinet and it's just ours to reach up. And he didn't say it exactly like this, of course. He said, but the reality is we're dead. We cannot get up there to the medicine cabinet to get it. And so we have to understand that it's the best mental state for us to be in begins with total depravity. Everything begins there. You can't understand anything else apart from that. And so it ends up with it's a biblical truth. It's reality. We can't lie to ourselves and just deny it because we don't like it. How does that work? How does that work out for cancer patients? It doesn't. For them, for us to be the best state mentally, is to understand the gospel and believe it and understand that we were dead, but we've been raised up.
I think,
and we now, as Bradley said, we're in a position to battle against sin because the Lord has rescued us and He saved us and the Spirit sent us.
In some other instances, I recall from the Scripture about how, you know, we see our, you know, these forefathers and whatnot struggle with sin, but how they respond to it, how they repent, because mental health, repentance is huge.
No,
it's got to be.
But if you don't have a doctrine of sin,
You know what I'm saying.
What is this lady? What is she proposing for the Christian life now?
You know, I think of like David when he, you know, done what he done with Bathsheba. What did he do after that? Mm-hmm. Like he was
Psalm 51.
He was so tormented about what he done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and losing, you know, didn't he lose a son? I guess in that aspect, tormented about that, and he repented though, and I think. Exactly what y'all were saying, but I think another aspect is repentance in your mental health, like understanding, you know, you can't just sin either,
right?
And not, you know, I think we sometimes forget that about how important repentance is to a daily life in our mental health.
It is,
you know, like repentance to me is key because I'm just like you, Bradley, what you brought up earlier, you know, when I sin, it bothers me to the core. A lot of times, it hurts my feelings. A lot of times, I'll call Derek about it.
You have a biblical view of sin.
Yeah.
If you start like this lady with the presupposition that there is no doctrine of sin, then the Christian life for you is not battling against sin.
Yeah. So if you accept, you know, when you come to the reality that total depravity is something that is real, you're going to start feeling like what Bradley mentioned about how. You know, what John Owen is talking about, mortification of sin, but, you know, repentance, a healthy repentance aspect, and not just asking for forgiveness and continue to do the same old thing. That's not mortifying sin. That's not. Have y'all ever listened to Timothy Brindle? You ever heard of mortification of sin? It's a hip hop. It's Shy Lin. But anyway.
Where is this going?
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, like Shy Lin, you know, he's got a lot of good theology in his music. You know, one of his guys that his buddy's with, his name is Timothy Brindle, and it's Mortification of Sin. It's a hip-hop song. I listen to it in the gym sometimes. But it's, like, for instance, he talks about what John Owen mentions about mortifying the sin, you know. But he also brings up the mental health aspect of it, you know, where you're struggling to the aspect of, you know, you get to the point where you just have to repent, you know, when you have a good, healthy understanding of your... But you have the realization that I'm not going to stop sinning either. You know, so this mental health thing is just a continual process of sanctification, in a sense.
You look back, though, and, like, I love the Valley of Vision, and a lot of those, they're just prayers to God, and a lot of them, they start off with with how wretched they are.
Yeah, for real. Mm-hmm.
And how great God is. And, you know, but I think going back to what Ben's saying with repentance, I think we live in a time where that kind of thing is frowned upon because you speak your own truth. You know, we live in a world where if you're this way, it's because you're supposed to be that way, you know, and these people don't understand that there's a problem in that, you know. Our society has been softened to the doctrine of sin to the point where this is a valid argument in our society, that it hurts my feelings to think that I'm sinful, so I'm not going to think that I'm sinful.
It's not pragmatic.
Well, I mean, y'all laid it out perfectly. The truth hurts.
Yeah.
It really does.
This reminds, like, in movies sometimes, not all the time, but in a lot of times, like, they go into a battle of some sort, and it seems like a lot of times there's this character who's on the good side or something, but they like, get wounded.
He's shaking pretty bad.
But they try to hide it, you know, and they keep fighting, but all along they have a mortal blow, you know, a mortal wound, and they just hide it and don't confront it, you know.
And then they end up.
And dying. That's what this lady reminds me of. Yeah. It's like, hey, it's there, but let's not worry about it right now.
I'm trying to think of those. Yeah. It's like it's like a war movie, or it's like a war scene.
Okay. Hold on. I got it right here. Have y'all ever seen Monty Python Search for the Holy Grail?
No. I want to, though. Because okay.
You need to watch it on Netflix.
The only thing I know about that movie is, like, the armless, legless guy.
That's what I'm talking about.
He's so, like, I will bite your, what does he say? I'll bite your legs off.
But you know what I'm talking about, Ben. With that scene, okay, this guy has no legs, no arms, and he's still going to fight.
Yeah.
He's still winning this battle. And, I mean, that was the first thing that popped in my mind when he said that.
That's an underrated movie. You need to watch it.
Dude, that movie is funny.
You need to watch it.
Well, if you like The Office, you'll like that movie. Because humor is real. I blow my nose at you.
Okay, I think that's a good way to segment out of this, don't you, Derek, to watch the Monty Python? I think there's more than one. There's more than one.
I don't know. Search for the Holy Grail is the only one I've seen.
Yeah, that's been the Holy Grail. Yeah, I think there's more than one of those, though.
Oh, I love it.
Anyway, I think that was a very good discussion. I think, you know, maybe our listeners are having mental health issues. I know. I think it's good to confront. I think that's one thing society has done well is about actually confronting, you know, the mental health thing. But, you know, people are going to abuse it, you know. But the whole purpose is total depravity is real. It's going to make you feel like
legit. Yeah, legit. And that's the basis by which we need to understand a lot of the mental health challenges of the day, not according to, I have to say this, and if it steps on toes, it does. I don't care.
That's the whole purpose of this.
That's, you know, there's people who want to diagnose this, that, and the other and have no understanding of depravity. And as much as they do that, they have no true understanding of the human soul. We have to start there and understand that a lot of things that we may label mental health issues really come from our own depravity.
Yeah.
And people won't like that. People say, oh, yeah, that's too spiritual, and that doesn't matter. You know, we start with the Word of God. We have a biblical anthropology. Not saying that there are not some legitimate mental health issues, but a lot of it is that we wish to diagnose everything with something and put people on this or that or the other. When that's not the real issue.
Take it from somebody who's on anxiety medication. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, Derek, you know this. You know, I opened up to you. I was struggling about mm-hmm. the whole issue at the time. I was having panic attacks and, you know, stuff of that nature. And I remember reaching out to you, saying, what do I do? Mm-hmm. You know, is my faith not strong enough? Is my view wrong? Am I not doing what I'm supposed to do? But it's a reality. We don't want to discredit it, but like you said, though, we can't just throw away doctrines because of it.
Right. And that's the thing with it. There's no perfect. We can't be perfect, so we're always going to have worries. We're always going to have doubts. We're always going to have these things, and a lot of times they rear themselves with anxiety.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just how it is. They rear themselves in depression sometimes. You know, I grew up with a dad who, if you were depressed, you just need to go work.
Yeah,
you need to go do something. Yeah,
go do it.
And I mean, you know, that's how I grew up.
Pretty good advice to me.
I mean, and it works for me.
Yeah.
But that's how I grew up. Like, if I was feeling down on myself, go find something to do.
Well,
like,
go
work on something. Yeah. That, and that's how it always has been. And that's, you know, that's just how it's been in my life.
Well, a lot of these things that we consider problems are ways that, you know, we're created to motivate us to get stuff done.
Yeah.
And we'll diagnose this, that, and the other as, like, I've got a son, my middle son, who was saved last night, actually.
Yeah, that's awesome. Pretty news. Cool. Awesome news.
But Cannon, like, he is one of those kids where he gets something on his mind. He cannot get it off. Like, that's all he thinks about. And, like, some people will try to diagnose that with obsessive compulsive.
Oh, Lord,
but
yeah.
But the dude gets stuff done.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I ain't taking him to get – when he excels at everything he does, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's because of that he has a focus, and people want to diagnose stuff.
Man, yeah.
No, this is – you know, we're wired in such a way that these things, even anxiety to a certain way, pushes us. It's to be used to get things done.
I relate to Cannon on that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even in just normal chores and stuff, I get something, I want it done. In my mind, it's, I guess, kind of like a checklist, sort of. But so I imagine last night went well.
And your checklist gives you anxiety.
It does. It really does. And
but you see how that
that
can work, you know, in your soul. Too.
It has benefits, and no. You know, it's.
But we want to diagnose it with something.
Yeah, and. You know, again, like I said, I do take medication for it, but I don't, I struggled with it for a long time. And
there's nothing wrong with that.
No,
there's
but
not a
but,
thing
you
wrong
know,
with
and
that.
And there was a time, you can ask Derek, where I struggled. I thought it was, you know, I did not want to do it. But I was having all these, you know, I was having a lot of external problems because of it. And then, you know, I ended up having some external problems because apparently it was hurting my liver. You know, that was what they found out was causing that. So I ended up having to swap to something different. But it helped me. It did. And then Derek, he so put it that day when I told him about it. This is just a gift that God has given to you to help you with the struggle at this aspect. Not something to abuse, not something to run away from life with, but something to actually help you, you know. So
and that's exactly, and that's a whole different way to look at it. But you take the opposite of someone who does not worry, is not anxious over things, and probably that person is far less productive.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's easy to be lazy when you don't have a care in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just sit on the...
And then they're wanting to prescribe that person more medicine, you know, but...
Yeah.
But anyway.
But we don't. Nobody thinks about it like that.
Yeah, they don't.
We think it's all bad, but... And there are bad things. Don't mishear me. You know, there are legitimate issues that need to be dealt with, and by God's grace, there are means by which to do that.
That's right.
And I'm thankful for that. But a good bit of these things
are sin gets in the way of that too.
We need a biblical perspective on I think. So.
Yeah. Anyway, I enjoyed it. This was a very. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't realize this was going to be such a lengthy conversation because we're over an hour.
I knew it would be like this.
Hey, that's good, though. I didn't think it was going to be this long.
Because, I mean, I knew last night when I was talking, after you left, I was talking to Derek about it. And I had to leave because it was, I mean,
the kids
have to go to bed.
Yeah, but you could have continued to talk about it.
I could have talked about it all night last night, probably. Just like I could still go talking about it right now. But
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. Well. Derek, you got anything to close us out with? You good? You enjoyed that?
Yeah.
Well, now you look depressed.
It's an interesting, like I said, I told Brad, that's interesting to hear how people think through that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worthy of response.
That's right.
Hopefully we've done well at responding.
Hopefully, if you are having some struggles about it, you know, you go to the scriptures, first of all.
So. Yeah, and talk to somebody who understands the Bible.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, we're not neglecting that people have struggles. I mean, that's the opposite of what we're teaching. So, anyway. All right. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed this episode. Let us know who had the best breakfast, by the way. Thanksgiving's coming up, Derek. You excited about Thanksgiving? You going to add 10 pounds?
You know how long I've been excited about Thanksgiving?
Since last Thanksgiving.
Since that last Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yeah, that's the correct answer. So I enjoyed like the dressing and those.
Let me tell you what not to do.
Okay, here's another 20 minutes.
No, I'll make this quick. Do not do this. In my mind, it worked. In my mouth, it didn't. All right. Leftover Thanksgiving food. You always have leftover dressing.
Oh, it's awesome.
You never have leftover cranberry sauce. I like cranberry sauce. Don't do too much, but you got to have a little. In my mind, I was like, I've got this leftover dressing from my dad's. No cranberry sauce. Ah, there's some grape jelly. It's close.
No.
Do not do it. In your mind, it might work. In your mouth, it won't. It's just, no.
His face, like he was gritting his teeth. He's like, do not do
And we it. Made it the whole episode without acknowledging that I won the chili cook-off.
Oh, yeah.
You did win the chili cook-off.
Yeah.
He's I was back. The champ's back.
Three, I was a judge.
Three times.
I was a judge.
Oh, Lord. And
judging with people, like with everybody that you know and you love, you go back in there and some people just look real defeated and you're just like, I'm a piece of crap.
So your mental health was bad because of the chili cook-off.
Yeah, I mean, you go back in there and they start announcing who won, and there's people. The life just leaves from people's faces, and you're just like,
I wish they would have.
Ah, crap.
I wish they would have had you to know to pronounce this. Like, well, first of all, everybody's a winner.
Yeah. Well, there I mean, no you both know me well enough to know that I wouldn't have done that. Like,
oh, that'd be hilarious, though.
Key to life is that there's winners and losers. but
that's not good for my mental health. I don't want you to.
It was just like, you know, you wanted to like everybody's. Mm-hmm. And then everybody has different taste. So your chili might have been the best chili to you, but it wasn't to me. Like, I'm going to tell you, I told Derek this. Really what won his chili for me.
It's still going.
Was the chunks. The chunks of bacon. Mm. Like, you take a bite, and there's a big old chunk of bacon in there, and you're just like, I told the rest of the judges, I took a bite out of it, and I was like, the chunks of bacon are really doing it for me. Yeah. And I'd get another bite.
That bacon was cooked in a very special, careful and particular way.
We don't need to reveal too many
which
secrets.
I'm not going to, because yeah. Adam might listen this far. And so...
This is one of the reasons why I love our church so much, though, because, like, it just, this stuff gets so competitive. Like, it's the chili cook-off, and.
He's over here talking about the struggles of judging the chili. He's like, first of all, everybody's winners.
Oh, I'm going to judge it next year, too, if I get the opportunity.
Oh, goodness, that was funny.
You go in there, and people are like, which chili do I not need to eat?
Well, then
I'm not telling you.
I wish you could hear the comments afterwards. Like, yeah, Derek's chili. I'm sure he, you know, like it's so competitive. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. But it is. Like you said, it's, you know, it's preference a lot of times.
They called out my number, and I like pulled the Dwight. You know, when he's made regional manager, where you just drop your head and raise your hand.
Yeah.
Hey, and I tell you, I don't know. It was like the second one my daddy come and judged it, and they judged it in there. Like, there was a table set apart.
Oh, wow. So, in front of everybody.
Yeah. And Daddy tasted one, and he yells, "This tastes like kerosene." And everybody looks.
Thanks, Dad. Yeah. What was the one year Kenny put the cinnamon in it?
Somebody did.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the first year. I think the first year that
and
I
apparently,
was here.
You know, white chili is not good chili.
If you want to lose, if you want to lose a chili cook-off, put cinnamon in your chili. You will lose.
Yeah, Laura lost that year, or she didn't lose. She just didn't win.
Yeah, my wife made white chili too.
She made white chili, and
one guy.
You know, there have been the other. What do we have? It was when we were setting up. I think the for something in the gym one Wednesday night, and we were talking about the chili cook-off, and there were several people that asked me to ask Laura to make her white chili, and I told her about it. She was like, well, I'm not going to enter it in the chili cook-off. And I'm like, why? She said, because the last time I did, they said it was white chili and it didn't count.
That's legit.
No, hey.
The guy that judged it, except he didn't know Brianna and Laura. We were all sitting at one table. And the guy came up to us. He didn't know that, like, of course, he doesn't go to this church anymore, but like he's sitting up here. He's like, I just can't get into white chili. That's not real chili. And of course,
that's how
Brianna and a lot of times Laura are just sitting there like, huh.
In the past, that's how they've judged it. Like, we've had some, I've heard them. Whatever one was like mama's chili was the one that they picked.
Oh, so yeah. It don't have nothing to do with taste. It's all about the looks of it. Okay, this
in the past, it's been like that sometimes.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyways, we've went on far enough.
Well, if you haven't checked out our Facebook page, check it out. Hit us up on Twitter, on the Twitter machine, because Bradley, apparently that's the only Twitter account he has is our Plowboy Radio Twitter page.
It's the only one I remember to log into.
So anyway, hopefully we got some new listeners. I know Derek has dropped some of our podcasts and Bible groups. I've dropped it in Reddit. So we appreciate all the new followers, all the new listeners. Hopefully you'll continue to be with us as we continue to try to push through with these episodes. And if you got any topics or anything you want us to discuss, please let us know. We encourage them.
It makes life easier.
It makes me and Bradley and Derek not have to sit here and think of it at the last minute either. Have some more preparation and stuff. But anyway, hope you all enjoy. Hope y'all have a good Veterans Day weekend.